This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 12, 2022, Feria in Epiphanytide, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Speak, for your servant hears. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It is a very interesting aspect of this man, the priest Eli. This man was, by all accounts, a good man. Overall, he was a good man, and he was a good priest. He had some very glowing problems, personal problems. One were, I guess you could put it in a nutshell, his priorities. He loved the Lord, that is no doubt, but he didn't let his love of the Lord overshadow his love of his sons. His sons were priests also, and they were extremely evil. They were nothing like their father. They did nothing as he did. They, as I said, they were just rank evil. They used to rob people and take advantage of women in the most literal of senses when they would come to Shiloh to pay their tribute to the Lord. And Eli said nothing about it. We have to do some introspection, both individually and communally as a church, when we see this very loyal man, and some would say a pious man, fall into this rut of having bad priorities in this world. As time went on, Eli, again, he does not correct it. He did not condone what they did. He just didn't correct it. This should tell us something. This actually culminates into, as the reading goes on farther, that we have the situation where there's another battle between Israel and the Philistines, and Eli and his sons doing their priestly thing. They are interceding with the Lord for the people, and the people lose. Israel loses a battle. And the question is posed to Eli, the priest, why has the Lord put us to rout today? He doesn't say anything. He says, well, let's take the ark of the Lord out there. They'll fear the ark of the Lord. They'll fear our God because they know what happened to the Egyptian. And he was right. There was a fear right there. But the Philistines, their leader, yeah, we know what happened to the Egyptians, but it was pretty obvious that our Lord had taken his hand of blessing off the people of Israel. And I think Eli should have paid attention to that. I said Sunday, the baptism of our Lord. I said, the baptism, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Why is he pleased with us? Right here, it'd be a contrast. Why is he not pleased with us? Just like there are answers to why is he pleased with his son, there are also answers to why he was displeased with his people at this time. We see, ultimately, God removed his hand of blessing off them. God removed his presence from them. His presence is in the Ark of the Covenant. And he actually allowed the Philistines to take the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he let them know in certain terms and in very short order that he had allowed himself to be removed. They didn't take him. He allowed himself to be removed from the people of Israel. Why? Why has the Lord put us to rout today? And this is where I say you should get introspective between us as an individual and particularly us as a community right now. I don't mean this building. I mean the church in general. Why has the Lord put us to rout? Why is the church hemorrhaging millions of souls over the past 60 years? Why does she hemorrhage thousands of souls, tens of thousands of souls? Why has the Lord put us to rout today? There is an answer to those questions, just like back in those days. In their case, why had the Lord put them to rout? They were morally bankrupt. You can put the blame on Eli, but the people allowed it also. You would think that the people would stand up for righteousness. Hey, this priest is taking advantage of these women that are coming up here. They're actually stealing offerings. You're going to do anything about this? You're allowed to... Well, the priest threatened them. Then they did. I brought this offering for the Lord. Well, you give us that offering and we'll give something else to the Lord. What should that response be? No, I gave this. We'll lay hands on you. We'll beat you up if you don't do it. We'll do violence against you. Guess what? Sometimes you got to draw the line. And they didn't. So they're morally bankrupt. They're not living the way they're supposed to live. They had ecclesial problems, to use our terminology. They looked at the institution more than they did at God, who instituted. Why are they not saying anything when something I've brought to God Almighty to offer Him, I'll give it to this person who threatens me with violence? Again, where are your priorities? The people were paying more. Well, they're priests. They're going to do what they... No! No! Every member of the faithful should know God's will and should know God's law, and that's improper. So these people are looking more at the institution than they are at God who instituted it. They're paying more attention to what people say down here than what he said. You put all this together, what do you have? Infidelity. You have infidelity. You have unfaithfulness. People are not faithful to God. And if you're not faithful to Him, He'll let you know the consequences. You don't want to be faithful to me? You want to do what they say? Let's see how they help you against the Philistines. And what happened? At the end of the day, the ark was taken from them. They lost that battle also. They were put to flight. And those two evil priests and Eli died as a result of this. His sons were killed, and he died when he heard the news. This is a reality of what happens when the Lord will take His hand of blessing off. It can get worse, as I said, than taking His hand of blessing off. He will actually remove Himself from the presence. Our Lord, today in the gospel, what does He do? He cures and He casts out demons. Cures everything from fevers, like Peter's mother-in-law, to leprosy. This corruption that is sickness as we look at it in the body. But, what He's trying to point to is that He is here to cure the ills of our soul. He is there to heal us spiritually. This is what our Lord does, if you just ask Him. When He walks into Peter's house, hey, his mother-in-law is sick. What does He do? He heals. Lepers come to Him. They come to Him and they get down on one of the gospels. The leper came to Him beseeching Him, and He got down on His knees and said to Him, if You will, You can make me clean. After something bad's going on with us, we have to approach Him. He will, He of His grace has put us in a position where we know who He is, where we know what He can do, but we have to move on that. We have to act on it. We have to approach Him. And like you said, we need to be introspective and see that in our day and age, the same exact infidelities that were going on with them are going on with us and in our church and some many individuals. We got a serious moral problem in the Catholic Church right now. Heck, 60 years ago, whether you loved it or hated it, you know where the Catholic Church stood on moral issues. And now you got priests running around, St. Paul got it wrong. A simple priest making that kind of a charge, an apostle of God Almighty, is wrong. When Paul said, that is a grievous, horrendous sin. Oh no, you got it wrong, Paul. That's a serious moral issue. That is a moral issue that in some ways really surpasses the moral issue of what's going on here, because that was just a couple priests. Okay, their father who wouldn't correct them. We've got a boatload of priests running around. We've got bishops running around. There might not even be hell. If there is, there probably ain't nobody in it. That just, you know, well, okay, you can kick that around in your mind, but it contradicts what our Lord says. Okay, St. Paul's wrong. God, Jesus didn't really get it right with that whole hell thing. That's a moral issue beyond the scope of what they were dealing with, you know, which leads to the ecclesial issues that we have now. Oh, the church used to believe that. You don't believe that. And church doesn't teach that. I always like that one, because you can get in big trouble if you say the church teaches something opposite the way she always said. So the response now is the church has never taught that. It's the church doesn't teach that. All that's saying is the church doesn't speak to that anymore. If you don't want something to be learned, you don't want something, you just don't teach it. You just don't talk about it. That's a tremendous ecclesial problem. The Lord will fix these things. And the first way he generally starts is taking his hand of blessing off. There is no one on the face of this planet who knows the Catholic faith, who knows what the church is supposed to be, who is not beset by what's going on right now. This is the reality in which we live, because they know their faith. And they know when they hear things that are contrary to that faith or not consistent with that faith. Our Lord will fix these things. Again, he tries initially by taking his hand of blessing off, like showing disunity, showing discord, not blessing, letting souls hemorrhage out of the church. All of this bad fruit we have seen over the past 60 years. Infidelity. We've got Catholics, a tremendous majority of Catholics, who deny primary dogmatic teachings of the Catholic Church. Eucharist, it's not really the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. You know, not really. It's in a spiritual sense. That's Lutheran. Okay, that's the reality of that statement. I mean, and that's just one of many. We don't believe that anymore. We don't teach that anymore. Those are the times in which we live, and he has taken his hand of blessing. We do not want him to remove his presence. He's done it before. He will do it again. When this all happened in the Old Testament, that was at Shiloh. That's where everybody goes to worship the Lord, Shiloh. It'll always be like that. Guess what? After this, it wasn't. A while later, where is it? Jerusalem. Yeah, Jerusalem, we got this huge temple. Look at it. It's so awesome. Not a stone's going to be laying one against another here shortly. And in 70 AD, our Lord's words come to fulfillment. And guess what? They're not worshiping in Jerusalem in the temple anymore. He removes his presence from there. He's done it two other times before. We shouldn't think that he won't do it again. But our Lord will fix it. We just need to go him. We need to kneel down before him. We need to fall on our face before him. If you will, you can make us clean. Well, Jesus is in heaven now. How's he going to do that? He raises up servants. Now, today, in the another memorial that you can do today is St. Hilary, bishop and doctor of the church. St. Hilary, who had the title, you got to love this. You know, can you imagine giving somebody a title like this anymore? Malleus Arianorum, the hammer of the Arians. Can you imagine that? Imagine this day and age. Hey, that's so-and-so. He's a hammer of Protestants. What? They're okay. They're just seeking God in their own way. Saint and doctor of the church, because he was the hammer of the Arians who denied the truths of the faith, who were unfaithful to the teachings of the church. That's how Jesus fixes things. That's the reality. That's when he has his hand of blessing on. When he has had the blessing off, there's still conflict and everything, but everything, he's guiding it. And he's protecting us from it. He said, we got to go and get on our face before him and say, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. His response will be the same as it was for the lepers. I will be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him. It will happen that quickly. It will happen that quickly. And I would submit to you that only a work of divine origin is going to fix the problems that we have now. I look at this, that, and the other thing, and I read this, that, and the other thing, and I think about, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. And this cannot be fixed by us. It's got to be fixed by Him. It's got to come from divine origin. And it will. He wills. I will be clean. He wills that He put His hand of blessing back on us. But we've got to go to Him. We've got to go to Him in repentance. We've got to go to Him with faithful hearts and ask Him to change these things. You know, I can sit up here and talk about them all day, but unless we're praying about them, they're going to just remain that way. As a matter of fact, I'll say that they're probably going to get worse. We have to approach this as a leper, because really, from to use an analogy, we're at that stage. And we're just not ailing a little bit. We don't have a head cold as the church. We have leprosy. And if you don't fix leprosy, it's terminal. We know the gates of hell will not prevail against her, but we don't want her to have her sick either. In the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost.